Father, I truly do thank you for those who came out tonight to sit at your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm just asking you right now, you know each and every heart that's here tonight. You know exactly what you want to do with each and every person that's here. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, to just reach down, touch your people in a different way tonight. Change and rearrange, Father. Make us the thoroughbreds that you talked about this morning. Make us vessels of honor, Father God, that you can work through. And Father God, equip us even with greater power and authority to bring in that harvest of souls. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I prayed for the Holy Spirit to be here, and he said he's here. So, you know, whatever it is you need from God, he's willing to give it to you if you're ready to receive it. I was sitting there, you know, this is all about getting you guys ready to go out into your ministries. And as I was sitting there, praise and worship, God put my remembrance of, you know, he called me to be evangelist in the 70s. And it wasn't until the 80s that happened. Excuse me, but I was in a church, and I made the pastor mad, and they kicked me out. All right. I didn't know, God just prophesied through me the truth, and the truth set me free because he kicked me out of the church. But anyhow, and God told me, he said, daughter, he says, when you leave here, Dad, I don't want you to come back ever again. Well, when I left, there was another couple who said, you're not coming back, are you? I said, no. God told me not to. And they said, well, we aren't going to either. And I said, no, God only sent me out, not you. So that night I went back to the church just so they would go back to the church. Well, I paid a price for that because the pastor ate me up and then kicked me out. But and then so there I was with this couple, you know, and I thought, what am I going to do with these people? Because they want me to teach them. And so I said, all right, come Wednesday night and we'll teach something. So they came Wednesday night, and then they brought others with them. And so then we had to do Sunday. And they said, we want you to start a church. And see, and God had told me, you're going to do that, but not now. And during praise and worship, God laid upon my heart. Remember when Jesus' mother said, turn the water into wine? He says, not yet time for my ministry. Remember that? But he went ahead and turned the water into wine. And so really and truly, that was not my time to start. But because of the circumstances, I did. And here we are today. It wasn't a bad thing. But I said that to say this. You never know at what given second God is going to start you in your ministry, period. That's why I said that. You know, and I knew I was called to be an evangelist as soon as I was born again because a prophet called me out and told me that. But God told me he's going to call out three women, and you're one of those women. But I still didn't know about hearing God's voice, so I didn't know where that came from. And finally the man said, ma'am, would you please come up here so we can go on with it, what we're doing? He said, you're the third woman. You know, so I went up there because I had heard, you know, you were one of the women. So you need to be really listening to what God is saying to you no matter where you're at, because you don't know what God is going to be doing with you at any given second. And because we are in a new dispensation of time, and God is calling new people forward, you never know when God is going to speak to you and give you clear-cut directions of what he wants you to do sitting in church. He can be speaking to you while the message is going on. Then just make sure it's God. And make sure if you do start, make sure you put God at the head of it and make sure he's the one that's leading, guiding, and directing you in what you think that you're supposed to be doing. Because I'm going to also tell you that even though, you know, that's how the ministry started, there was always somebody that came into the church trying to tell me how to run the church. Now, God told me you should be doing this, and God told me you should be doing that. And so that's what they'll do to you, too. It's the enemy trying to get you out of the will of the Father and trying to get you to. And this is why we're here today, and why we had a lot of problem when we moved in this building, getting it ready. And I asked God, sitting on those steps, how come all this trouble is happening? He's because I didn't tell you to move here. The people did. And he says, it's because you listen to the people, not to me. So make sure you're listening to God. He says, you won't have an overabundance here, but I will keep you. And this is what, we don't have an abundance, but he does keep us. So now he's promises us the building that he wants us to have. I'm not going to do nothing but sit still, and he'll let us know where the building's at and when to move. And he also told us the building will already be built, ready for us to go into. We just have to go in and just take over. So this is what I'm waiting on. That could happen tomorrow. It could happen at any given time. I don't know where it's at, because I used to drive around Dover, this area, and say, is this it? Is this it? I quit that too, because that was running a lot of gas out and just, messing me up. So we're just sitting waiting for God to give us the building. There's a whole lot of things that it's just not getting a building. There's a whole lot of other things that God is working on in the background so that we move. It's a real smooth move. Tonight, I want to talk about your spiritual authority and the things that we love and the reason why we do different things that we do. All right. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 said, this is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, he's talked to Jeremiah, I knew all about you. And he's talked to each one of you. This is each one of you in here tonight. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. And he said, you were going to be a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. But I said, hold it, Master God. Look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. What did Moses say? God, I can't even, I stutter. I can't even talk. We always have an excuse when God wants to use us. I said, God, I don't know how to run a church. He said, I'll show you, So God told me, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. See what God's saying? Don't be afraid of a soul. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you, God's decree. God reached out, touched my mouth, and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand delivered. See what I've done. I've given you a job to do among nations and governments, a red letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down. Take apart and demolish, and then start over building and planting. So he was going to use Jeremiah as a mouthpiece. He was going to send Jeremiah to the nations, and he was going to rip the church apart, and then he was going to rebuild it. Now, with this church, God told me, I don't know how many years ago, maybe five now, it's time now to rebuild the church. And so God's been in the process. He's already come and judged and tore it apart. And now he said it's time. He wants to rebuild it. And this is what he's doing. He's rebuilding the church the way he wants it to be built. All right, so Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. He had the commission to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow. But it also included promises of restoration and deliverance. And verse 10 says, to build and to plant. Now, we talked about how Jeremiah, that God just refused to people. That was what we talked about this morning in chapter 14. Tonight we're talking about how God now wants to restore the church, the remnant church. He's now restoring it to the place that he wants it to be. And every one of us in here know we've gone through pure hell in the last 10 years. Everything that Satan had, God told me, he says, Satan's throwing everything at my people that he has in hell. And if you look at your life, you know that's exactly what he's been doing. Why is he doing that? Trying to discourage you from going forward, because if you go forward, you're going to tear down his kingdom now. All right? Today we are a people coming out of captivity. a people God has been encouraging to build, as they did in the days of Nehemiah, Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah. We have been in exile from the promises of God. You know, God keeps giving us promises. We haven't seen them yet, right? But we have returned to rebuild the Lord's house. We are in a time of judgment, correction, discipline, yet it is not a time to tear down the body of Christ. God is judging, he is disciplining us, but it's not time for us to tear each other down. It's time for us to finally get in total unity like God's been trying to get us to do and build each other up and watch each other's ministries grow. Because you're leaders, and so you're going to have a ministry somewhere doing something, and whatever, only you know, because I don't remember, but whatever God told you you're going to do, that's what you're going to be doing, all right? It is time to reestablish and to build up. Now, the authority to build up the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 10:8 says, "You may think I overstate the authority he gave me, but I'm not backing off. Every bit of my commitment is for the purpose of building you up." Jeremiah's talking to the people. I mean, Paul is. "But after all, not tearing you down." All right? So God is not trying to tear any of you down. He's trying to build us up now so he can send us forth. We've been through the mire and the muck and everything else, and we've all come out. Some of us a little bit wounded, but at least we came out, and we're rejoicing in the midst of our tears, but still in all we're rejoicing. And we need to understand that while the doctrines of Christianity can be taught, Christ's likeness can only be inspired. We need to understand that while the doctrines of Christianity can be taught, Christ's likeness can only be inspired. This next generation of leaders will inspire multitudes by their humble and holy lives. And God's been telling us this next generation he's bringing in, they are going to live for God with all of their hearts, and they are going to bring in the harvest. They will truly walk in Christ's love. They will be granted great authority. Right now, there are many who can explain the doctrines of Christianity, but few who walk as Jesus walked. You can talk about God all you want to talk about God, but are you walking it out? Remember, God told us here a couple years ago, if you're going to teach behind this pulpit, make sure you're living what you're teaching, or don't teach it at all. And he is very adamant about that. I don't want this church known as people who say one thing but do the opposite. You know, if we're going to teach holiness, then we walk holiness, you know. If we teach love, then we walk in love. Whatever we're teaching, that's what we have to be doing. All right, what is spiritual authority? It is nothing less than God himself confirming with power the word of his servant. It's just God given, confirming that we are his child, and he gives us the power and authority to go forth and do the things that he's told you that he wants you to do. Moses exemplified spiritual authority when he warned unrepentant Pharaoh. The Spirit of God confirmed Moses' judgment with power that broke the pride of Egypt, you know, with all the plagues and everything. Jesus manifested spiritual authority when he confronted demons and people, silenced storms, healed diseases, and then fulfilled redemption in resurrection power. Now, Jesus manifested, we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? So Jesus manifested spiritual authority when he confronted demons and people, silenced storms, healed diseases, and then fulfilled redemption and resurrection power. You know, he went to the cross. God let none of Jesus' words go unfulfilled. And, you know, as I wrote that down, I thought, God, it used to be that every word I spoke always came to pass. Or every prayer I prayed, God always answered that prayer. And I've been in a valley here for the past 10 years, I think it's been, where that hasn't been the case. But I'm so excited that I went, God, once again, everything we pray is answered. And everything that God has said is going to happen in life, it's happening. Not going to happen, but it's already happening. And, you know, as I was reading this, you know, God told me, I know, a good 6 months ago, daughter, I'm just waiting on you. And when I was sitting there during praise and worship, I know what God's saying. The power is still there. The healings are still there. The miracle's still there. I just have to now bring them forth. God's waiting on me. Because God told me one time, whatever you place your hand to do, I will finish. Are you understanding this? So is God just waiting on some of you? You know, what has he spoken into your life? What have you been walking out in the last 10 years? You have been walking it out because the enemy's been throwing everything at you. And I'm hearing God say, we've been on the backside of the desert for 10 years. So now God is just waiting on you. He's waiting for you to take that step of faith and do whatever it is he's telling you to do. Amen. Come on. And I thought about you that God's called to write books the other day when I was in prayer. And God said, if only they would heed what I told them, they wouldn't be in poverty today. They would be have riches untold. See, it's because you have not done what God's called you for to do that you don't have, that you're not walking in riches. If you would just write the books that need to be out there, if you don't write the books soon, this is what God is saying. He says he's going to anoint somebody else to do it. And you won't be able to write the books. He'll take that anointing away from you. So whoever's supposed to be writing books, you know, if all of a sudden you don't have an anointing, it's because you wouldn't do what God told you to do. All right? Where am I at? The Bible. The Bible provides us with many examples of those with spiritual authority. Every example tells us the same underlying principle. Those who are raised up by God are backed up by God. They will decree a thing and it will be established. In Job 22:28, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. See that? God gives pastors, leaders, and intercessors authority for one specific purpose, to fulfill his purposes on the earth. What are God's purposes? One of the divine purposes seen in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Do what? Go therefore and make what? Disciples of all the nations. Do you know there are a lot of pastors that don't want disciples, they just want converts. They don't want you to grow any further than you know, receiving Jesus. They want you to stay in their church. They have a multitude of people and they can take you into tithing and fill their own pockets. They never make a disciple. Christ gave the church authority to make disciples right there in that commission in Matthew 28. The church has been much more successful in making converts than disciples. If the goal is discipleship, how do we accomplish this? We are to take converts and teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded. In Matthew 28:19 says, Jesus says, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. We are not, remember, God said, don't hold what you have to yourself. You know, say, look, I've got this anointing, I've got that anointing. Pass that along to somebody else. And I often think when I first started the church, every Thursday night we had teachings. And I used to teach you people how to prophesy. And some great prophets went out of the church. Because he really learned how to do it, hearing the voice of God and letting God work through them. One time, a couple came to me. They wanted me to tell them to get a divorce. And I says, "All right." And I says, "God is going to prophesy out of both of your mouths. He's going to say out of you're going to tell yourself what you're supposed to do." And they said, "We don't prophesy." I said, "You will right now." And so they prophesied to each other. And what God told him was, and the bottom line was, don't get a divorce. But the man got up and he left. He said, well, I'm getting a divorce anyhow. So he didn't. He died. But see, God didn't let me speak to them. he anointed them to prophesy their own fate, more or less. You see this? This is what you should be doing. You should, you know, people want you to tell them how to live their life. Say, well, no, let's let God talk to you, speak through you. You prophesy to yourself, and you let God tell you through your own lips how, what you should be doing. All right? You don't go around and say, oh, I'm the only one that can prophesy. That's a bunch of garbage. God wants everybody to prophesy. Not everybody's a prophet, according to the word, but God wants everybody to prophesy. All right, when the church returns to teaching all that Jesus taught, disciples will have authority to do all that Jesus did. You need to understand that the power of authority will not function simply because we copy the methods of another. Remember, I keep telling you, you have your own personalities, and God will use you and your personality. You don't imitate what somebody else is doing. I tried that. It doesn't work. All right, because we copy the methods of another, as the sons of Sceva realized, and that's in Acts 19:14. You remember they were watching Paul and them do deliverance. Well, not Paul, but the other disciples do deliverance. And they thought, well, we can do that too. And what happened? The devils beat them up, didn't they? You can read that in Acts 19:14-16. Now, we cannot pretend to have spiritual authority. As we focus on obeying the words of Christ, there are divinely ordained ways for Christ's authority to unfold in our lives. Divinely authorized. Divinely authorized. Not coming from you. From the beginning of our salvation, we have enjoyed the Father's unconditional love. All right? But as we mature, however, there comes a time when the Father's love toward us seems conditional. As it was for Christ, so it is for those who follow him. And John said in John 10:17, for this reason, the Father loves me because I laid down my life. See that? Jesus lived in the deepest intimacies of the Father's love because he laid down his life for the sheep. And I was going to look it up. Remember the scripture about Peter? God asked him three times. Jesus asked him three times about, do you love me? Love me, then, you know, feed my sheep, you know, three times. And then Peter said, why does he ask me this? And, you know, if you really love Christ, then you will lay down your life for the sheep, and you will bring them forward and make disciples out of them. That's what that scripture is all about. God gave me that scripture one time when he was teaching me something. And so I lived by that for a while. If I really love God, then I was going to bring his sheep in to the fold, and I was going to teach them all about Jesus and make disciples out of them. Some people don't want to be disciples. They just want to sit and be taught. But that's not what you're in the house of God for. You're in the house of God to be taught to be a disciple, then go forth. If we will grow in true authority, we will do so by laying down our lives for God's sheep. You know, for the people. In other words, you just give up your life. You don't have a life no more. Because your whole life is now working with God to bring the sheep in to the fold and making disciples. Right? It's not what you want anymore. It's, you know, and if you really stop and think about your life, you know, it's really what you've had to go through to even bring in disciples you wouldn't want to go through. You know, when I married my second husband, the sole purpose was to get him out of hell and let him go to heaven. 19 years later, that's what happened. But at the in-between was rough, really, really rough. But see, I had to die out to self. It's no longer I that liveth. I'm here for one purpose, and that's to see this young man spend his lifetime in eternity in heaven. It wasn't what I needed. Isn't that what Jesus did? It wasn't what he needed. It wasn't what he wanted. It was what his commission was, and that was to go to the cross, right? It's not to get your name out there. Everybody know your name. It's not to get your name in lights. It's not about you at all. It's about souls. And sometimes your assignments are rough, really rough. But if you really love God, you've laid down your life, and you'll go ahead and do what you're called to do. God has been drawing and bringing us into Christ-like surrender. Isn't that what he's been doing in here? So be encouraged. He has been equipping us for the next outpouring of his Spirit. You know, he's been telling us to get intimate with him, go to the third heaven. He's been drawing us to himself. But also be advised, your authority will be an outgrowth of your life laid down in love. You're not going to have any authority. You won't have any ministry if you don't lay down your life in love. All right, I'll do this thing. No, that's not laying down your life. You do it with love. And then one time I said to God, I said, God, why didn't you tell me I was going to go through this? He said, because if I'd have told you or showed you what you was going to have to go through, you would have never picked up this assignment. And isn't that true? You know, isn't that true? Some of us, if we know what we're going to have to go through, we'd say, no, I don't think so, Father. Just go get somebody else, right? And I'm just telling you, that's just the way it works. He does not tell you everything you're going to have to go through. He just says, here's another assignment. Okay, leaders, here is the path to true spiritual authority. Number one, being in full possession of our souls, we choose to fearlessly surrender our souls to God. And number two, when we are unjustly opposed, yet we quietly endure. Number three, when we could easily fight and win, yet we turn the other cheek. How many times have you said, grace, because we're older, God, my cheeks are worn out. I can't endure another slap. And you'll go through that. You really will. You know, because people, they'll just use you and abuse you. All right. It is at those moments spiritual authority is entering our lives. In John 10:18, John said, no one has taken my life away from me. Jesus says this. No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Now, do you lay your own life? Do you lay your life down just because that's what you want to do, because you love God so much that you want to be a willing vessel for him to work through? You know, I know everybody was really excited about the teaching Wednesday night, and Chris brought up where the woman said, what about me? But, you know, in all reality, we should never say, what about me? Because it's never about you. The teaching was really good, and it really helped a lot of people. But, you know, the bottom line is, I went home and got to the bottom line is, it's never about you. So if you're going through some rough times, you know, bawl and squall if you have to, but don't say, what about me? Well, she said, remember me, wasn't it? God does remember you. He's watching everything you're going through. But he's given you, he's equipped you with everything you need to go through it. So quit acting like a little baby and wanting a bottle stuck in your mouth. You know, and somebody to change your diaper and just be a thoroughbred and go on and do the things. Now, I know I'm busting some of your bubbles, but that's okay. You're grown up, right? You can do this. Come on. You can do this. You really can do this, Aaron. You really can. We can grow up and we can be the vessels of honor that God wants to work through. We can really do this, Alan. You really can. I want to take him out the hot seat. He can have company. I'll put you in there too. You young ladies, you can do this thing. You really can. And when all your friends reject you because of you, have you lost your mind? I mean, that's what people said to me. I think you're going crazy, you know, when I became born again. Because of what I was saying, they just didn't understand it. But what I was saying is what the Holy Spirit was telling me to say. And people rejected me. They didn't want anything to do with me. Why? Because the devil in them, remember this, the devil in them cannot stand the God in you. And they have to get away from you. That's why they reject you. Your personality hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. It's just now you have Christ in you. And the devil doesn't like that. I'm telling you, I've lived this life. I know what I'm talking about. All right. Jesus was not forced to accept crucifixion. He chose crucifixion. You are not forced to lay down your life for Jesus. He wants you to do that, but you're not forced to do it. He wants you to do it willingly if you do it at all. Matthew 26:53 says, don't you realize that I am able, this is Jesus speaking, don't you realize that I am able right now to call to my Father and 12 companies more of angels, if I want them, of fighting angels would be here, battle ready. He, you know, they were taking him to prison, but he didn't have to go. He could just talk to his Father and said, send the angels. And they would have, and all the army would have been destroyed. But Jesus willingly went to the cross. That had to be the most agonizing thing he ever had to do with everything he had to go through. All right, you know, let's just put it this way. What Jesus did was really agonizing, and we never, ever take away from Jesus. I want to talk about girls who have been raped. And that is one of the worst things you could go through. It doesn't have to take your life away from you. It really doesn't. You just have to give it to God and walk on. He knew the rape was going to happen. He knew all that stuff was going to go on. But you're his child, and you were tested, and you were tried to the very core of your being, and you're still standing. All right? And we know rape goes on. It's always going on, especially fathers raping their children, their daughters, and you know, it just goes on and on and on. But God will keep you. He really will. All right, Jesus had a choice, legions of warring angels and immediate personal deliverance in the garden, or death on the cross and deliverance for the world. Wasn't about him. He was thinking about you and I. And he endured all that pain for you and I, so that one day we could sit in heavenly places with him. He chose to die for us. All right, the willful decision to lay down our lives, as Jesus did, is the very path upon which true authority develops. In other words, you won't have any true authority until you follow the path that Jesus followed, but took. Jesus said in John 10:18, I have authority to lay my life down. I have authority. Nobody owns you. You belong to God, but nobody really owns you. God will not go against your will. And if you don't want to lay your life down for him, he will still love you, but he will just walk on. All right? Jesus' authority came in the laying down of his life. Our authority comes from the same source, picking up our cross and laying down our lives for others. You know, we read that word in the word, pick up your cross daily and follow me. We really don't know what that means, you know, because we don't know what that assignment is for today. You know, so we just say that, you know, because it says it. But really, truly, picking up your cross daily could be a whole lot of junk going on that day. You know, that could be a day a whole lot of stuff comes down in your life. But that's a cross you had to bear for that day. Then the next day you get awake, you pick up the cross again. Because something different's going to come down the road. Amen? We never know what it is. Okay, do you have authority or do you have control? Spiritual authority is a provision of God to transform the temporal with the power of the eternal. In other words, it transforms this earthly stuff into the power of heaven. All right? It is not something our flesh can imitate. It's not something our flesh can imitate, nor is it found in the tone of our words. Divine authority requires divine sanction. This sanction comes from passing the test of love. And I think one of the greatest examples of love is Joyce Myers, you know, whose father raped her continually when she was younger. And then as she became a born, and she was really messed up over that. And then as she became a born-again Christian and started coming out of all her hurt and pain, she told her father she forgave him. And then in his latter years, when he was sickly, she brought him into her home and tended him till he died. That's love. Because this man really messed her up bad. Now that's love. All right? Same type of love that Jesus had for you and I. when authority is administered without love, it degenerates into control. Hear that? God does not call us to control his people, but to inspire and guard them. The outcome of control is oppression, witchcraft, and strife. But the results of love is liberty and the power to build up and protect God's people. Now, you know about the young lady, it was in my home, and it was a mess. And when I was trying to get her out of my home, it was control, because it was not done in love. And God told me, you're going to have to go to her and ask her to forgive you for not treating her properly. And so the day I did that, and I said, I really want to ask you to forgive me for not being godly. Me asking you to leave is what I could do because it's my home, but I did it out of hate and not love. And then I said, and I should never have called you a name, because we're all children of God, and you are a person, and you are a person that God loves. And she said to me, you'll never know what that meant to me, as she stood there crying. This girl caused me a lot of trouble for 2 years in my home with drugs and all kind of junk. But see, God made me go. He didn't make me do nothing. He asked me to do it, and I willingly did it. Just like my first husband. He had me go to him and tell him I forgive him for what he did to me in the years we were married. I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I loved God and I wanted to do it. I wanted to imitate Jesus. Are you listening here? Love always is the best way to go. All right, we will walk in either the true authority of love, the false authority of control, or no authority at all. See, when I walked out of love, I had false authority of control, and I didn't have any authority. The kids said, nobody listens to the thing you say. And it was because I walked out of love, and I was stressed out, pulled to the limits, and I went into hate. How dare you come into my home and take my home from me? See, that was not Christ. Are you understanding this? Both false authority and no authority are rooted in fear. And we react to fear in either of two ways. The first reaction, which produces false authority, is to seek to control those around us. And that's what I was doing. I was trying to control the people around me, thus making the circumstances around us more predictable and less threatening. The other response to fear is to refuse to accept and exercise any authority at all. See, I didn't do that. I went into love because that's what God showed me. And then things started turning around for my good. See that? Scripture tells us in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So if you're walking in fear, your love walk has not yet been perfected. Since true authority is built upon love, its goal is to liberate, not dominate. Since true authority is built upon love, its goal is to liberate, not dominate. Therefore, before one can truly move in spiritual authority, he must be delivered from fear and his desire to control. He must be rooted and grounded in love. All right. When you try to control your children, you're not rooted in love. Are you understanding this? I'm the parent. Well, big whoop. Parent, are you working in love? Are you working in control? Are you trying to manipulate your children, make them walk in fear because you're the parent? I've watched, and I myself have done this, I've watched parents just about destroy their children because they're going to show them who's boss. And see, we should never do that. We can set down rules, but we don't show them who's boss. You know, and I know you're supposed to stay above your children, but sometimes you need to get down on your children's level to talk to them, you know, the way they need to be talked to, but do it in Christ and do it in love, or you're going to lose your kids. I'm not telling you how to raise your kids. You do your own thing. I'm having enough trouble doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? All right. Authority to inspire Christ's likeness. When our teaching about God and our obedience to Him are one, spiritual authority accompanies our lives. When our teaching about God and our obedience to Him are one, then spiritual authority accompanies our lives. In Matthew 7:28, when Jesus concluded His address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that He was living everything He was saying. See that? Quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. Don't ever curse what you have to go through. You're going to find out once you start being the leader God's called you to be, that will be your testimony. It will help other people know, okay, so they can do it, I can do it too, you know. And see, there's too many people sitting in the house of God who look at pastors and they idolize them and they think, I can never attain what they are. Well, you really don't want to attain what they are, because we've been finding out that back of that facade is a whole bunch of junk. All right? Never hold a pastor up. You know, idolize them. Jesus is the one we look to. All right? I look to your fruit. I don't look at you. I look at your fruit. I see what you know, kind of fruit you're bringing forth. And I can tell whether or not where you're at with God just by your fruit. Some of you may say, but I have never been a leader. When anyone lays down his or her life in Christ's love, others will see and follow. Whether you are a business owner, a housewife, or a teen, you can speak with confidence and authority as Christ's disciple. In truth, if you are following Christ, others are following you. Then you become a leader. All right? I don't care if it's just one person. You're a leader. I was watching, what's his name? You know, singing, and I thought, you know, he's an activator. He activates people. I can't think of his name right now. We just heard him sing. Who is he? Tell me. Brandon Lake, thank you. I mean, you know, whenever the lady was singing the song, it was all right. But when he got onto the stage, you just see how the anointing and everything changed. He's an activator. He gets you really going with God. He gets you thinking. He pulls you forward, you know. And I've watched it. I get on there and I study the singers. I really do. And I watch what they do. And I notice some people are intimidated by Brandon Lake. You know, other singers, they sort of, when he gets on the stage, he sort of, you know, because he's like a breath of sunshine that jumps in there, you know, and he just brings God on the scene. And if you ever watch him, you can tell by the way he's trying to get you to understand how good God is. He really is. He's just trying to get you, you know, into where he's at. And this is what we should do as leaders. We should be following Christ to the point that what we want to do, our desire is to get you to understand what we know is real. Amen. The devil doesn't have any problem with doing that, does he? People follow him all over the place. All right, this next generation will not just teach the people, they will inspire the body of Christ to live like Jesus. This is what God told us. Their example in all things will awaken godliness in those around them. All right? Authority, so we have authority in spiritual warfare. As wide as our sphere of love, to that extent, we have spiritual authority. How much love do you have? How big is your foundation of love? That's how much authority you have. We see this in the mother who loves her child, right? A mother who truly loves her child. Such a woman has authority to protect, train, and nurture her offspring. She doesn't push her kids off on somebody else to bring them up. She herself brings them up. And she teaches them the things that God has shown her to teach them. And, you know, I've been around kids all my life. I really have, all my life. I had to bring up my own brothers and sisters. And when I started going to church, you know, at a young age, well, I was always in church. But I was always taking kids to church. And then I've always had kids in my home. And Larry said to me one time, are you always around kids? Aren't you ever by yourself? And I said, no. I said, that's what God has me doing. I'm just being around kids and bringing kids up. So who was around Jesus? Little children, right? Some of you grown-ups act like little children, so I look at you like little children, too. You're trying to train you up in the way of the Lord, right? All right. I'm talking about mothers here, right? All right. I said she has authority to protect what she loves. The same is true of the husband over his family. His authority is not merely to rule, but to establish in his home the life of Christ. True spiritual authority is born of love. I see more homes where kids don't really, the father doesn't really love their kids. He controls his kids. And then the kids don't love the father either because they can't respect him. And that is, you know, and God never meant for a man to abuse his family. He never meant for a man to treat his wife in an ungodly way. Then some women know they want to be in control too, and they cause that to happen. So I said, true spiritual authority is born of love. The testing ground of all spiritual things is love. Test your love walk. Love alone purifies our motives and delivers us from the deceitfulness of self. Even authority in spiritual warfare must be rooted in love. Even authority in spiritual warfare must be rooted in love. One time our deliverance team got in disunity because everybody, they really weren't doing it because they wanted to set somebody free. They was doing it to show how much authority they had. They were just trying to outdo the other one. And so the deliverance ministry didn't stop, but it had to be broken up because you don't go in there showing everybody else how much authority you have. You go in there working in unity with a group, and then you all work together in love, and God just sets the people free. That's what he does. Amen. David gained the skills to slay Goliath not on a battlefield, but by defending his father's sheep from predatory animals. David loved the sheep so much that he risked his life for them. We also grow in authority as we protect our father's sheep, the flock he has given us to love. And you're the flock that God has put under me. And every now and then, I like to take and dip you in the river somewhere. And I think, God, will they ever grow up? And then, but, you know, lo and behold, he says, be patient. And I watch you grow up, and I'm just so excited and proud of what you've become. And then what you're going to do with the community out there that God sends you into. But, you know, we have to be, God was patient with us, right? So we're supposed to be patient with anybody that God puts in our way. And I know that sometimes, and I'm going to speak for everybody in this church, you haven't been as patient as God wanted you to be with people that God has sent in here. We're being honest, right? And so you young ladies, you know, you be patient because God is with you and he is in control. You didn't get changed overnight. And the people you're working with isn't going to be either. Authority is muscle in the arm of love. The more one loves, the more authority is granted to him. You hear that? If we love our cities and are willing to lay down our lives in service to our community, God will enlarge our hearts. He will grant us new authority in spiritual warfare. And, you know, around here, churches don't want to unite. They just don't. They fight with one another. And so how much authority do they have? If they don't want to unite, then they don't love their community, as far as I'm concerned. Because if you love your community, then all churches are going to get together. I don't care how you preach. That's not what we're doing. We're here to make sure that the enemy doesn't have control over the community. Is that right? Come on. You're not going to have any authority over the dark. Maybe that's why we have witches, covens, and everything else in here, is because the churches won't unite. And so we have no authority over the darkness. Think about that. However, no one should ever engage in confrontational warfare who does not love what they have been called to protect. If you do not love your city, do not pray against the roaring forces of darkness. Satan knows the genuineness of our love by the brightness of the glory that surrounds us. You have to know that. A man or woman without Christ-inspired love will soon shrink back and fail in spiritual warfare. A man or woman without Christ-inspired love will soon shrink back and fail in spiritual warfare. And 1 Corinthians 13:8 tells us, only love never fails. When it comes to spiritual warfare, there are many things the Holy Spirit has to say that we are not able to hear until the base of our love is expanded. In his wisdom, the Lord protects us from presumptuously attacking the strongholds of hell and suffering loss. In other words, if you don't have the love walk, don't be going out there trying to get somebody set free. It just is not going to work. Yet, if we are truly anointed in God's love, the price to see our culture saved is not too great. One day God said to me, he said, daughter, as I was with Moses, I am with you. And so I studied Moses. You know, God found great favor in the eyes of the Father. And so, you know, I hold on to these things, these little nuggets that God gives me. Just like he told me when I first started, Isaiah 54 is your chapter. You can hold on to that forever. And, you know, and if you listen to what God's saying, he's giving you little nuggets that you can hold on to. When the enemy comes, right away you think about what God told you, and then you use that against the enemy, saying he cannot touch you because God is for you, not against you. All right, we talked about using love to set our culture free. And I said, but it will be a price that love alone can pay. Whatever God calls you to do, if you do it in love, you know, God's with you in it. As leadership humbles themselves and prays, a new authority is being released to make the disciples of Christ. Because their love extends outward into their cities, their authority reaches outward as well, even into the heavenly places. And remember, I said, whom God raises up, he backs up with his power. Remember, authority is muscle in the arm of love. If we don't have to wait for the other churches to unite. We just have to unite here together. This church has to, if we would walk in total and complete unity, you know, it doesn't matter what the other churches are going to do, because God will use the churches in unity to do his miracles through. So don't say, well, the other churches won't walk in unity, so we're never going to have power. Yes, we are, because we are leaders, right? Maybe some of the other churches out there, their leaders aren't really leaders. I don't know, because God told me not to nib into what they were doing, to keep my nose right here. I don't know what they're doing, but I am just saying that I know that God is not pleased with the leaders of the churches in this area, because they will not walk in unity. You know, you can be the only one in your household saved, but if you walk in the love walk, God will keep you safe in that house. And your influence in that house will make the darkness flee. Not all at one time, but little by little by little, you'll feel the glory of God come back into your home. Somebody in the house has to be a leader. I don't care who you are. You have to be a leader. You don't say nothing. You're just a leader. You lay down your life to God, and you say, God, use me any way you want to. Therefore, you become the leader. Then you quietly just listen to what God tells you to do, and then you just do it. All right? I mean, when I was first born again, and I knew all that I know now, my family thought I had gone crazy. And, you know, and they just would shake their head at the different things I would do. But now my family is doing the same things that I tried to teach them to do years ago. You have to stay your ground. You have to stand firm and don't compromise. And just keep moving. And if you're like me, you'll say, God, you've got to take care of the situation because I can't. You know, they're all coming against you thinking you're not doing right. But if you stand your ground, God will take care of it. All right? Yeah, I'm hearing God say, I wish above all things that each one of you would trust me with every fiber of your being, every area of your life, and just flow with me. You have to trust God with every fiber of your body, knowing that he knows exactly what you're going through. And if he's called you to do something, he is equipping you to do it. Like when I wanted to go away to Bible school because I knew nothing, God said, no, I don't want man to teach you his doctrine. My Holy Spirit will teach you of all things. And that's exactly how I learned what I know. You don't need to go away to Bible school. You need to go to God's school. And that's the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit will teach you in truth. And I'm hearing God say, in dignity. And you won't have to back down from the enemy ever. Because everything the Holy Spirit teaches you is truth. And truth will never fail. The altar is open tonight for a special anointing for you to be a leader among leaders. It doesn't matter how long you've been in Christ. He wants you to be a leader among leaders. And when I said that, I used to have somebody come to the church. They moved to Florida. But every time they would say, well, you know, I'm just a baby Christian. They were a baby Christian for 10 years. They used that as an excuse not to really do what God wanted them to do. So let's not do that. God doesn't have no baby Christians. The minute you say that, you tell God to take care over your life, He takes over your life. And you're a full-blown child in God. So let's just come to the altar tonight. And let's just get this anointing to be the true leader that God's called you to be.